Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Full Course Show Jumping Podcast. I'm Will Fletcher, and on today's episode, we have Jack Whittaker, one of the younger in the Whittaker dynasty, but he's been lighting the world on fire recently. He's had great form all over the place, and especially his five-star win in Stogenbosch. Just before we start that, there's a couple of things I wanted to touch on that happened in this past week. Firstly, Madrid Global Tour happened. That was a great Grand Prix. It was absolutely massive. The course builder did an excellent job. There was only two clears in the first round, and there was a really tricky line early on where there was a couple of long distances into a really big double. It was really wide oxer going in, and if you're a bit far off that, it had the back bar. If you pushed up too much, though, you had coming out, and that caused a lot of trouble. Also, the inclusion of a big water jump. That really, really hurt people's rhythm, even at the top level. And they're just throwing a little bit of a change of pace and a change of rhythm really made riders struggle, especially coming down the last line, which also caused a lot of problems. But even in the water, you saw at the top level, some horses just didn't want to do it. Most notably, Ben Mayer's horse, Madame X, for some reason said, no, not today, we're not doing that. So happens to everyone, but it wasn't all bad for Ben Mayer. His best horse, obviously, Explosion, looked fantastic in the Grand Prix qualifier, won that very convincingly, which is really, really good to see because he hasn't been jumping that quite as much recently. So it'll be really interesting to see how that goes over the next coming weeks and months, obviously, on the lead up to the Olympics. And as well, back to the Grand Prix, Scott Brash and Hello Jefferson looked an astounding pair together. They look so, so good. Scott's obviously the man for the moment, rode the Grand Prix fantastically. Thought he did enough in the jump off, but was just pipped by Olivier Robert, who just beat him. But I thought the pair looked fantastic, and that's really exciting for the Olympics that's coming up, obviously, in the next couple of months. Maybe even more of a story, Michel Robert in Bourg-en-Bresse, the four-star show in France. He's 72 years old, and he managed to win two of the big classes of the show. 72 years old, you cannot believe. He's retired from the sport, I think, almost three times now, and he's come back and better again. His rounds were absolutely phenomenal, and to win at that high level at his age, it was just incredible. Although what's happening when he was born, which was, I think, 1949, and which was 4 years after the Second World War, can you believe? On that year, the Frisbee was invented and aerosol paint was invented. This is just absolutely crazy. He's 72 years old and he's still winning at a really, really high level. So that was fantastic to watch. Also, across Europe, Gorna Menor, three-star. Britain had a win with Will Funnell and Billy Diarmo, booking their place on the St. Gallen Nations Cup team after their big win there. Looked really good. Jumped really well in the Grand Prix the week before. The four-star just had a time fault. So he's rounding into form. He might be another one in with a push for the Olympics and the Europeans. And it's really good to see that that horse is coming into form just at the right time. And also, Joe Stockdale finished third in that Grand Prix on Casherel. He had a really good tour, obviously, in Sunshine Tour, jumping some double clears in the big four stars there. That looked really good again. So well done to both of them. Centaur Park, Emma Stoker won the three-star Grand Prix on her horse, Contador. Anyway, you win three-star Grand Prix. Extremely well done to Emma. And for me, I just come back from Wellington's first international show. Wellington in Berkshire, they did a really, really good job. It was a great show. Really enjoyed being there. They did an excellent job trying to be accommodating. There was lots of, you know, use of different arenas that you go and work the horse in before you had to go and warm up, because we still got the rule, it did get changed to the rule of eight rule. But they did an excellent job. It was a very accommodating show. The ring was fantastic. And yeah, hopefully the first of many there. But before I start talking too long, we'll get to the show. Well, welcoming onto the show today is the man of the moment, Jack Whittaker. How are you doing today?
Yeah, very good, thanks. And you?
Fantastic. Well, obviously much to talk about, but where we have to start is your recent show into Togenbosch, the Dutch Masters, winning that jump off class on the Saturday night. Just explain that to us.
Well, it's difficult to explain, to be honest. I went out there with expectations, but not the expectation of winning a class like that. But no, it was a fantastic feeling, and thankfully I got the job done. The two fences he had down would not normally be his two fences, you know. That's why it was just so. That was more my fault than that was definitely more my fault than his fault. You know, I just rushed it a little bit, and he's quite a sharp horse anyway, and you got to try and keep him a bit relaxed. And I just feel like I could have done it so much better than I did, and it's just annoying.
Well, at least you know, though, jumping a top group. Would that be his first 5-star Grand Prix?
No, he did a few with my dad, actually. So, I knew he could do it.
Yeah. Well, first 5-star Grand Prix with you, anyway.
With me, yeah. And it was his first 5-star Grand Prix in a while, but I knew he could do it. And it was just whether I could do it with him, you know?
Yeah. No, I thought he looked fantastic.
Hopefully next time, if I get it next time.
Definitely. Although I'm sure there will be plenty of next times. You did.
It's a shame, though. You don't get so many opportunities like that at the moment, and it was just annoying to cock it up a little like that at the end. But
I thought he jumped superb. Another thing you had to tackle in Togenbosch was the fact that there was no fans in such what would usually be an atmospheric arena. How was that? Was it really surreal feeling?
Yeah, strange to be honest, because I've never really competed in a arena like that. Maybe Olympia, it was a bit more like that, but not in such a packed arena like that. And it was actually a bit of a shame, because I was really looking forward to be able to compete in front of such a big crowd. And normally I've never been to Togenbosch before, but they say it's a fantastic crowd there. They really all get into it, and it was a bit of a shame they couldn't be there. But it was twice. The show did quite a good job of it. Like, they made it look like there was a few crowd there. And in all fairness, when I was riding around, it felt like the same amount of pressure I was putting myself in when there was loads of crowd there as well. And like they played crowd cheering when you finished and when you jumped clear and all this stuff. So in all fairness, the show did a good enough job of it. And I don't know how it looked from the outside, but it didn't feel too much different in the end.
Yeah, I do think show jumping has been able to hold up quite well, because it's so focused in on the, you know, on the horse and rider. I think it's the bigger sports when you see more of the empty stands that it looks a bit more weird. But I know what you mean. They did a really good job, and they did as well as they possibly
could. The biggest thing was for me was like when I competed at shows like Olympia and Mechlin and stuff, was when you trot into the ring and there's just so many people watching you. Mm. And that was the only thing that was a bit different. You trot into the ring, it was just 10 people just watching you, you know?
Yeah.
And you didn't really know, like, normally, like, you're really focused in on it, and still was very focused in, but it was a bit different. It felt like I was trotting into, like, a training round or something. It didn't feel like that, but, you know, you're trotting in, you're expecting, like,
all eyes on
the
you.
Weight. You're expecting to feel the weight of 1,000 people watching you, and you don't, and it's, but you don't, like, I like it didn't feel like it was still the same amount of focus and the same amount of adrenaline from the type of class and everything, but it was just a bit different, you know?
Yeah, no, it would have been just a little bit of a shame, wouldn't it? Your first big 5-star win.
Exactly, yeah.
With the crowd cheering you on your way around in the lap of honour would have just been a surreal feeling. And, I mean, I feel for you to not have that, but, I mean, I'm sure you'll have plenty more opportunities to have that.
Hopefully.
That was a fantastic job there. Honestly, I don't think anyone could be happier for you. There was the talk of the town, as they say. But
thanks a lot.
you've been flying up the Longines rankings recently, and you're into the top 11 in the under 25 rankings in worldwide. And you're into the top 10 in Britain as well. You've managed to do this at a time when a lot of people haven't been able to get to the good shows. You know, it's been really hard. So how have you managed to get yourself right up in the mix with those top riders?
Right. I have to dedicate it most to that mare, Letha, really. She's probably done most of the winning for me, and she'd be my most consistent mare. Like, obviously, Vame's had a few good Grand Prix placings as well, and So is Kenlitha and a few others, but she would be the one that's probably climbing up the rankings the most. And really, like, I've not, like I say, like I won that class in Stogenbosch, but I've not really won that much. It's been a bit under the radar, to be honest. Like, I didn't even really realize it myself when I was in the top 10 in the UK, and it was like obviously it was a good surprise, but like I felt like I hadn't really done, like, because I hadn't really won that much, I felt like I hadn't really done enough yet.
Well, that's very modest of you, but surely, you know, looking at the rankings or whatever and realizing you're in the top 10 in Britain, at what are you now, Jack? 19, 20?
19, yeah.
19, yeah. 19 years old, you're in the top 10 in the whole of Britain. Surely that would have made you feel pretty good.
Oh no, like it was definitely one of the achievements. Like, you always watched when I was younger, just starting with rankings, I always used to watch the ranking list when I was trying to climb up it, like from 800 to 600 to 500, you know, like it's, and then you always try to see how close you are away from the top 10, like, and then I'd always see like Will and Ellen and my dad and John and Rob would always be in top 10, and now I'm there. Like, it's something, it's a fantastic achievement, but it's also something that, like, I feel like it, not like I felt like it should have happened, but it was always one of my goals and something that I feel like I needed. If I was going to be any good, it needed to happen.
Yeah, no, I know what you
So
mean.
it's only like a step, like hopefully it's just a step in the road really, and keep going up.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, especially when you first get your few first ranking points. My favorite thing to do is look at like Algeria and go, do you know what? If I was Algerian, I would be second in the whole country, which is my favorite thing. I mean, I accumulated
Basically,
about
I'm the best
32
in
points.
Algeria.
Yeah, but I mean, I was just having a little look now. You're now the second highest Whitaker, which is incredible.
Who's highly mate at the moment? Rob.
Rob, yeah,
Yeah.
old
Good old
catwalks
Rob.
in a while. But you're in front of your dad, you're in front of John, in front of Will. Surely, is there not a little pin board and you have it, yeah, family meals? Yeah, right. I'm coming for you next, Rob.
There's always little comments and little jokes, but they're as happy for me as I am, you know. Like if anybody's gonna be higher than them, I think the happiest me, you know.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's the main thing, isn't it? You know, it's all a team, and everyone's done. Yeah, you've done such a good job to get there. Everyone's just so happy for you to do that. But you know, a couple of your top horses that you've done really well on, like you've said about Valmy, and your dad rode that before, and Scalento, which has just come on leaps and bounds. You know, over the years, is there anything in particular you've done with them to get them into that level and being so consistent?
I think just not rushing them too much, taking time a bit, and just everything's different for the kind of horse you're on. Like Valmy was a bit different for me because he'd already jumped a few big Grand Prix with my father, and I knew we could do it. It was just me getting used to him really a bit. Like, he's a bit of a sharp horse, but he's not difficult to ride, but you have to get used to him. And there was a bit of, like, that's just, I had to take my time with him a bit just to get used to how he went. But then Skinlitha, like, I started riding her when she was 8, and like, she quickly took to bit bigger classes, like ranking classes. But then after, it took her a while to get used to jumping ranking classes. You know, that it's a big step up for them horses that have not jumped ranking classes before, to go into ranking classes. It's a lot bigger than like 140s and them kind of classes. Even like the 145 non-ranking classes are a big difference to the 145 ranking classes most of the time. And she did take just a little bit of time to adjust to that kind of level, but like now she's flying. Like, every class I've jumped in, she's felt like she's taken it on easy, and she nearly could have won, you know.
Definitely. And so taking over Valmy from your dad, what did you feel any pressure from that?
Little bit, to be honest. I did a little bit because it was a bit of it. It wasn't really much of a planned takeover, I don't think. Well, in my head, it wasn't anyway. Maybe it was my dad's, but like, he wouldn't tell me anyway. This kind of stuff, he'd just say it. And it was a little bit of pressure because he would be like on the yard. He was like the horse, you know. He was the one that jumped to the Grand Prix, and he was the one that, because like, when I was younger, and you probably have the same like with your mother, when you walk around the yard, there's always the one horse that's the best one in the yard, the one that always jumps the Grand Prix. It's always the one that goes well, and you always wish of riding it. And then you get to ride it, and you're like, bloody hell, like, now I've got to go and jump Grand Prix and win Grand Prix on this horse. And
Now it's my turn.
yeah, Now I've got to take the chance, hopefully.
Yeah. And so what sort of things did your dad say to you? You know, when you took over the reins, was
not much, to be honest, at the start. Like, I jumped him a few times at home and stuff like that. And he's not when you're messing about with him and stuff, he's not so difficult at home and stuff like that. Just when you go in the ring, he grows like two hands.
Yeah, because he's not a big horse at all, is it?
No, he's a small horse. He's a small horse. He's like 16 hands.
Yeah.
16-2. But when you go in the ring, he's like a raging bull. Like, he thinks he's about 20 hands and already won the Olympics. You know, he's ready to go, and you basically just try and contain him a little bit and keep him calm. But he's the feeling he gives when he's jumping a fence is like fantastic. He just doesn't feel like he can knock a jump down, and that's probably what the problem was a little bit in Den Bosch. I was riding a jump like I couldn't knock him down, you know. And I did.
No, you say he's been going so well, but you know, you say he goes in the ring and he's like a raging bull, and he gets a bit feistier. What do you do in the warm up to settle that one down?
We just try and take our time. I get on him fairly early. Fairly early, just to make sure he's settled up before I start jumping. And I just try not to do too much to make him too sharp. Like, I do enough jumps with him. Also, it's all right to do a few more jumps because he's so sharp. Because he's so sharp, it doesn't really matter how much jumps you do with him in clutching. Like, I don't like to do too many, just so I can keep him a bit more relaxed. But just making sure he's relaxed. I do quite a lot of small jumps with him at the start. Like, sometimes I'd also, like, I'd go from a small vertical, then go to a small oxer, and then a bit bigger vertical, and then maybe finish my big verticals, then go to a small oxer again, you know? Just to try and mix it up a little bit for him and keep him, so he just knows everything's a bit relaxed and nice.
Yeah. It's really interesting to hear how, each horse is different, isn't it? And you've got to change your approach, whether it be at home, whether it be at the show, whether how you're getting it ready. Really interesting to hear how you.
It's a bit the same at home with him. Twice. Like, I don't do so much. I don't do any really big jumping with him at home.
Do you not?
Because he's like ultra careful.
Yeah.
He doesn't need like to jump big or anything. He just needs to canter around real nice, real calm. Maybe do like 20 jumps small in a row, keeping him really calm and relaxed, and try and open his stride and lower his neck and just keep him relaxed as possible, really. And you never have to really worry about the jump with him.
Yeah. No. Well, you certainly looks like you're doing a good job with him, and he's looking better and better every time, which is really exciting for you. But the next thing is, what's your plan for the rest of the year? There's so many things you could possibly aim for, and you've got a great bunch of horses. What's in store?
Well, I just try at the moment. I'm just trying to take it as it goes, really. Like, I was hoping to do a few Nations Cups there, and hoping that's still on the horizon. I just take as it comes, really, see what shows I can get into and what shows are running, more importantly, with COVID. Obviously, I know everything's relaxing a bit more now, but we'll just see what shows are running and what I can get into, really, and go from there. Like, my horses are ready to go for whatever. So when a big one comes up, I'll hopefully be ready for it again.
Definitely. And will Risenbeck Europeans, is that what the big aim is, or are you taking it one step at a time?
I mean, it's in the back of my mind, but I don't want to rule it out, but I also don't. It depends on everything. It's there's so many factors that come into that make that possible in the end.
It's there
in the back of my mind, and I'm not going to rule it out, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
Well, it is in the back of my mind, so it definitely must be, be in the forefront, because I believe we have such a good group of young riders coming through into that top level now. It's great to see people I've jumped in against. It's brilliant. So I really hope you and the rest of the team get a chance to showcase that at the top level, because you could old Ben and Scott could desperately use some help over the next couple of years.
Yeah, and hopefully me, Joe, and Stockdale and Harry Charles can hopefully help him out a little bit.
So, yeah, definitely. Definitely. No, you're doing a fantastic job. Well, best of luck for your next couple of weeks in Italy. And hopefully be back in touch soon. But best of luck. And thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
No problem, mate. Thanks a lot.
We are brought to you by Pro Rider Academy. Pro Rider Academy is the one-stop shop for professional riders looking for practical and strategic promotional advice to grow their careers and businesses. You can contact them directly by hello@proRiderAcademy.com or DM on Instagram @ProRiderAcademy. Thank you so much for listening to the Full Course Show Jumping podcast. We really appreciate you're here, and make sure you tell your friends, subscribe, rate, review, let everyone know about this podcast, because we'll be bringing you a show every single Friday. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.